standing, standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time knowing, Lord, that our days are short, our days are numbered, and we know we don't have too much time left here upon earth, as perhaps as individuals meant to be taken away before the resurrection. But even then, there are not too many days left, we know, for those who will be here for that same resurrection. And we know that, Lord, and we pray that we may fulfill our days according to knowledge and the wisdom which we have been given in this hour, and also that same knowledge and wisdom, that revelation, not only backed up by the Holy Ghost as per vindication, but the same life of that word, the Holy Spirit, in our lives, in order to worship you and serve you correctly and according to truth. We know the world does not have this, but they're rushing headlong into destruction, and we are also hopefully believing this morning, rushing headlong into glorification, immortality, and incorruptibility. May our studies, Lord, somehow be blessed by you, and may they be true to your word. This is all we ask this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, it looks to me as though you have an increase in congregation. I suppose some are missing, but that's usually the way it is anyway. And I appreciate your growth. Especially appreciate growth in the Word. And it's nice to hear that people really don't have too many questions. The fact of the matter is that I think that's the way it should be. On the other hand, of course, if you have questions, and I don't know that I can answer them, but if you decide later on you had questions and then didn't ask them, then that's a little bit not so good. Because we like to do everything we possibly can to be helpful to people. I just opened my Bible today. I had it in the suitcase, and you know how they handle your suitcases. I'll tell you how they handle them. And this may come as a shock, but no surprise. You know, these planes are several stories high. And I forget who it was telling me that he looked out the window, that is one of the airplane window, and these guys where they had their little wagons down below, kind of, I hope they were like a trampoline, I wouldn't even guarantee that, and they were throwing suitcases out, and he said they were hitting, and the suitcases exploding. Well, I don't know if they're working for some baggage industry in, to get more trade or to check out what they, you know, what they can handle. I really don't know. But so anyway, my Bible, I noticed, opened it and it's falling apart at the seams. And I thought, well, how like old Levail falling apart at the seams. Maybe this Bible won't quite endure to the resurrection. I'm kind of thinking I might not either. This Bible has lasted me a long time. It's the longest lasting Scofield I've ever had. And I was so happy that it's hadn't gone to pieces. Usually, you know, thumbing things, the sticky goo and stuff gets on, and then it gets brittle, and they begin to break, and I've had to take tape. And but this is the only Bible that seemed like was going to make the resurrection. And even if I have to take it with me and go the circuitous route, you know, go down before and not stand here, that you get the best of both worlds that way. So anyway, I'll look at some of the questions here, and see what I can do. I don't know how well I can do, but we'll look at it, and we'll just take a little look at it. It says here, as Adam's body was formed without the garden, of course you mean outside the garden. Adam's body was formed outside the garden. Are we now to the place where, being back to the tree of life, our souls can now build the true body from the God-ordained soul food? Is this how the new body forms around our born-again experience? Well, to begin with, if you're not seed, remember, seed had access to the tree of life and to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it may seem like a sorry program on God's part that he put a people here who could not only access the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they would do it. And, of course, we know that Irenaeus was the one who gave us the understanding, and he said God being the Savior is necessary, he predestinated a sinner in order to give God reason and purpose of being. In other words, if there weren't a sinner, there couldn't be a Savior, or being a Savior would be absolutely without any purpose. And the same thing goes with being a healer, God being a healer. It was necessary he predestinate a person who would need healing in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. Now, Brother Branham used to use the phrase, deep calleth the deep. And he illustrated about the little boy that was chewing on bicycle pedals. And they found out that he needed sulfur. And the sulfur was in the bicycle pedal, showing that if there's a question, there's an answer. Showing if there's a negative, there's a positive. He used that expression. My expression was different. My expression was, there's no such thing as a question without an answer. I used the sort of a combination Mary Baker Eddy and the Fillmore observation, you know, which Christian Science and Unity. And the same outfit, they said, there's nothing lost, it's only misplaced. And, of course, that gives you the ungodly understanding of the so-called scientific Christian who says there's no such thing as annihilation because you cannot annihilate material. Well, if God created from nothing, he can sure send it back to nothing. Even in the cyclotron, you find that. In the atomic bomb, there's evidence that with explosions of some natures, it just evaporates. Now, they say it all went back to hydrogen. Well, who made hydrogen? Anyway, we look at this question here. Anyway, I talked to Brother Branham, and I ran across what Arrhenius said. So he recognized that Arrhenius had put it in the actual proper wording, and that was God being a Savior, God being a healer, God being a shepherd, and so on, right down the line, so that all things flow from him to us and back to him, and all things are of God, which is the Word of God. That's the word Rhema in Scripture. Let the things that I say, that's the Word of God, the utterance of God. And then we are the things of God. So you see your perfect picture here, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil was there, right in that garden. And you'll notice what Eve did. She took a satanic interpretation wherein Satan, as a minister and an angel of light, purporting to be a servant of God and a messenger from God, inveigled her into believing that you could add to the word that he could instruct her in righteousness. And he couldn't do it. Now, the word beguiled is completely seduced morally, mentally, physically. And Paul himself brings that out in the New Testament, how that the bride's mind was completely taken over. And Brother Branham mentions the same thing. And also, he mentions in there concerning Eve being saved, the woman being saved in childbearing. So, you know, positively what happened back there in the garden had to do with birth. And so there's where your serpent seed comes in, your seed of discrepancy, you know all these things. I want to lead you to the place where you understand in the time of Paul, wherein the bride was not formed. And there's no way that bride at that time was complete. And that's why Brother Branham said, in the Ephesian age of Paul, there could have been a rapture. There could have been a resurrection, but there couldn't be. Because you see, you had to come to the time element. You had to come when the fullness of the bride and the fullness of the Gentiles and the fullness of Israel, the whole thing was completed. Now, what I'm driving at is this. They asked the question, Brother Branham, what does it mean when you said over here, when that which is perfect is come? And he said, well, who is perfect but God, and what is God but the Word? And by his grace, we have the perfect revelation of the Word for this hour. And we find in Acts 3, there had to be a restoration of all things spoken by the mouths of the prophet. And that word things in there, again, is Rhema, which is utterance. The utterance of God must be fulfilled. Well, now, how in the world is the utterance of God going to be fulfilled if you have God on one end and you on the other end and you don't know for split beans what your end means and everybody's talking about a different meaning of what God said? Well, you got to get a prophet. And that's exactly what the Scripture teaches us back there in the third chapter of Acts. There has got to come a prophet. In Peter, the same thing. He said, well, we saw upon Mount of Transfiguration that same thing which is going to be fulfilled. You're going to need a prophet back there too. And Peter speaks of the epical period of time. So what I'm driving at is this. There has to be a perfectly revealed word, which is a perfect revealed tree of life, because God is the Word. And you've got to come to the place where that tree of life is standing here, or you cannot possibly grant immortality. Because the tree of life was taken away so that they could not enter into immortality in the condition they were in. And now the condition of that, if you are the perfect, righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, you didn't even do it the first place, you're trapped into it. The absolution of God the Judge Himself. So the tree of life is here, we are partaking of that same tree of life, and absolutely, you don't need to worry about the Garden of Eden, forget it. The whole millennium's going to be a Garden of Eden. The world's going to be completely populated by the seed of Almighty God, under the complete jurisdiction of Almighty God, who at this time is putting the bride in order according to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, because the word subjection is the identical root word for chrusma, which is a military command. So the bride's getting her marching orders, and when Brother Branham had the vision of the bride return, one ought to say, he screamed, "Get in line! That's your military command." Now the bride's got her marching order, she's all but ready to go in a rapture. And she's right to the tree of life. Why? Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has been completely eliminated. It's not that it's not here. Don't ever think for 1 minute we're out of the Laodicean church age. We are a part of it chronologically. We are not a part of it spiritually. We have passed from death unto life. And we that believe now shall not taste death, but enter into the fullness of life, which is immortality. So when you talk about the tree of life, you don't even need to worry about the Garden of Eden. All you need to worry is about that tree of life, because that's what Adam and Eve tried to get to, they couldn't. Now, if we can get to it, what's going to happen? Immortality. In what state? Perfect righteousness. You can't add a word or take a word. So that's your picture here, what you're looking at. All right, John 17, Jesus in the garden asked the Father to restore to him the glory before the word began. Could you comment on this present, this pre-existing relationship he had with the Father? Well, there's not too much I can say there about that, because there's very little said. All we know is that by the word of God, Paul says that all things were created by Christ Jesus. And of course, there's no way he created anything outside of Almighty God. Jesus himself did not create one single thing, even though he was the Son of God. Now, what kind of a Son of God was he? Is absolutely told us here in the book of Hebrews, which everybody just passes by and becomes a Jesus only or Trinitarian. How they can do it, I don't know, but God knows. And let's face it. We know how it happened, by the devil perverting the word of God. He said, here hath in these last days spoken, that's Hebrews 2, 1 and 2, in these last days by his Son, or in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now listen, God spoke through the prophets many ways at many times, different manners, different times. Didn't matter, he was doing the speaking, he used a prophet. And God was in the prophets. In this last day now, God is in the Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made, and it's not worlds, is actually the earth, although that is in another portion of scripture, so it's included there, is the periods of time, and, things that are more in political, and also in continuity in God's time, who being the outraying of his glory, or being the outraying of glory, and the express image, or the expression of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power. That's his, not an exousia, but also the dunamis, the authority and power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. So what you got here is Jesus is actually a chunk of God. That's what he actually is. Here, right here. That's what Brother Branham said in the beginning, before there was a speck of stardust, before there was a... He used those terms like before there was wind and things like that, and then he said before there was an atom. Now, the whole thing is that before there was an atom, or before there was a part of an atom. Electrons, neutrons, break it on down, and down, down, down. I don't know that the science has ever found a breaking point yet where there isn't negative, positive, or just vice versa, positive, negative. But anyway, before there was anything, formed. Now, the word formed means there's something there that you actually take and you manipulate in some way to mold it. Now, if there's nothing there by means of God creating, then there's nothing there but God. So therefore, God took a part of himself. And now, if you want to use the term Brother Branham used, in the place where God gave birth to himself, you can use that too. Well, God, not being God, being spirit, at the minute that Jesus, or second that Jesus came forth, that Son came forth, of the very substance, a part of God, then God birthed himself. This Spirit birthed himself into the position of God, because you can't be God without a worshiper. So you can look at many things Brother Branham said and trace it right down to the Scripture. There's never a problem with his language, never a problem with anything. It's perfection personified. You just have to believe it. And if you're a believer, you'll find it. Now, that's a premise I've worked for many, many years. But Brother Branham said it, thus saith the Lord, I'll get it. If you say, oh, you're boasting, I'm not. I'm just a believer. What are you? I mean, if you don't take the same attitude I take, what's wrong with you? Now, you don't have a ministry of teaching. You don't have to have it. But you will find that Brother Branham is correct. And you'll find the very correctness all the way through. Especially in the principles laid down. So, all right. When you talk about Jesus, he was pre-existent. But he was pre-existent in the sense that you and I were not. In other words, the fullness of the Godhead bodily was manifested in Jesus. And to me, that means one thing. I look at Jesus and say, what fullness Jesus was manifesting in you? Certainly not omniscience. No way, shape, and form. Because he couldn't even talk unless God told him what to say. He was just dumb. Now, he couldn't think. He couldn't talk. He said, only what I see my Father do, I do. He couldn't do anything but what God showed him. And then he said, the Father in me doeth the works. So therefore, when you talk about Jesus, pre-existence, all you can talk about is this. When he came forth, and he was given a superior place over all creation, because the Bible says so, to the which of the angels said he, thou art my son, sit on my right hand. This, no way, shape, and form. They're all creations. They're all ministering spirits that minister to him, and because he, in turn, from the Father, had ministered to them. Well, fair play, isn't it? God does something for you. Shouldn't you do something for God? If your wife cooks you a good meal, shouldn't you at least kiss her? Life's a two-way street. Don't ever think it is not a two-way street. If you end up a one-way street, I got news for you. You're going to be the sickest dog that ever walked. You are going to be sick, sick, sick. Life is meant to be shared. If you've had a kindness shown, pass it on. It was not meant for your own, pass it on. And that's the way Jesus was in the position of a mediator between God and whatever came forth. Because if he's a mediator, he always had to have the genes of a mediator when he was born, or he couldn't be a mediator. Why? Because he's saying, yesterday, today, and forever, I am the Lord, I change not, and any substance of God is unchanging. So there, if you're a part of the substance of God, it can be absolutely unchanging. And that part says, I believe, there's no way. Now, you may be a little ignorant, you may be a little helpless in what you believe, in the sense you don't fully understand it. What does that matter? The point is, the seed of God cannot sin. It cannot enter into unbelief. So whatever Jesus was at that time in creation all, and according to Brother Branham and other theologians, what you want to call them, that involve themselves in Scripture and, you know, profane history also, that Jesus led in the worship of Almighty God alongside Satan. Now, Brother Branham pinpointed it, and also I believe the Seventh-day Adventist also said the same thing. Now, because Seventh-day Adventist says something, and Mormonism says something, don't you say, well, that Brother Branham has to be wrong. You know, I will try to be nice. Everybody wants me to scream and jump and shout and get you doing the, the Macarena, and then Brother Vale spiritual. I can be way more spiritual, glaring at you, screaming at you, jumping up and down, ready to brain you. Because I'm set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, there's just too much phonyism. I don't care if Seventh-day Adventism or the devil a million years ago said the things that Brother Branham is saying right now. William Branham's a vindicated prophet. And there's nothing William Branham says now that wasn't said either by the mouths of men in this earth or even in pre-existence. Because he said, there's going to be things revealed which were not known from before the foundation of the world. Right? Amen. You tell me one theologian told you or anybody else how the sun came. The light formed. A logos.
Right.
Come on, I read the books. I've read the books. I had a foolish woman run down Brother Branham. She said, Brother Bear, Brother Branham's nothing but a hypocrite. How so? Well, she said, he read a lot of religious magazines and sermons. Then he'd bring them to me. And I found he was preaching the same sermons in those books claiming they're his. I never said to her, "Sister, find me the sermon that talked about serpency. Find me the sermon that talked about anointed ones at the end time. Come on. Find me the sermon that talks about doing God a service apart from being his will. Come on, tell me about the seven seals." I just walked out. She'd already blasphemed. I don't care how good a woman she is. They see, "Brother Dave, you're not sweet. Why should I be sweet and condemn my soul? You want to go to hell, go to hell. You're not taking me in my way." Huh? You know what I mean? Oh, Brother Dale's got a rotten, mean spirit, have I? Let's find out what God does on that great day. Render unto her double. When the exponential curve comes into light. If I'm wrong, I think he could just be sweetly annihilate me, but you may have a long, long way to go. So he was Michael, in the person of Michael. He led in the worship. Now, when you talk about that glory, which is John 17 and 5, so we're going to turn to it. And he says here, "O now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." In other words, the word glory and glorify means to make an assessment. So if you say this has got glory, you are making an assessment. You are making a decision concerning it and placing it in its proper order. And he said, "Give me back my order." He said, "Which you were yourself doing by your presence and all." Now you know that in the garden, God left him. Did he leave him before he said this? It is quite possible. We don't know. Brother Branham never said what verse God left him. I don't know any verse where it would. But it could be right at this point that God left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now he's saying, "Lord, be everything to me that you were up to this point, because now I'm in my own hands as an obedient son. Everything I need, my own life from you. All of these things now, dedicated, learning obedience." How could God learn obedience? By suffering. See your Trinitarian hogwash and your Jesus-only corruption? Stupidest thing on earth. This was the Son now, like you and me. But see, he remembered where you and I don't. Remember, he's like that African prince that was in slavery. And he stood apart from every single person. And the only reason he did, because he remembered that he was the son of the king. And so you have the same thing here. And so he says here, "I want that assessment that you gave me. I want that position. I want that honor. Can I have it? Am I sure to have it?" And what did God do? He raised him to be a high priest. And you can't worship and serve God. You can't do one thing outside of the Son. And yet some want him comatose. Some want him back to the dust. Some want to make him God. And they read, "One mediator between God and man, the God in Christ Jesus." What a fallacy. What stupidity. So Brother Branham said categorically that you and I were identical to him, except we came in different ways. We bypassed our spirit body, our word body, our theophonic body, which is three terms for the one thing. Now, theophany is not the correct term in my books. I like Brother Brown's corrected term, either spirit or word body. I like it better. Although theophany is perfectly good, because if you have a part of God in you, you are a manifestation of God, just the same as a cat is a manifestation of cat. A dog is a manifestation of dog, and a child of God. And remember, there's neither male nor female, it's a born one. A born one of God. You are a manifestation. But you are a manifestation only in the order where God placed you. And that's what's wrong with people. That's why, you know, you get St. Vitus dancers. You know, what's going on? Forget it. You've got a lot of St. Vitus dancers. No more born again than nothing. See, if you're born again, you've got to know your place. And you will know your place. And that's not some great big revelation like some woman went around, she's putting preachers right. I've seen a lot of those names. Sheesh. See, Brother Dale's been through it, kiddo. Don't ever think for 1 minute. If I haven't been through it, I've been through it. So we see here the pre-existent relationship. The pre-existent relationship, whatever measure it was, has been entirely elevated in the complete, wonderful purpose of Almighty God which was a predestinated purpose in which God cannot fail. For who can resist His will? Who can do it? You think David resists the will of God, breaking the commandment, thou shalt not lust after thy neighbor's wife? You think that he got away from God by thou shalt not commit adultery and thou shalt not kill? You think he was taken from his privilege of being the prophet, king, type that foretold Jesus? Huh? And what about Jesus? Elevated. Hebrews tells you that. Read it for yourself. And the great mystery is the elevation you and I know today, Melchizedek. Everybody guesses. Melchizedek was God in a human form. And when God left that human form of Jesus, He left the priesthood to Him. Because God couldn't be in any form after man was on earth here, as far as I know, in the system set up of worship, that God could take anybody outside of a human being and be what He was. I guess I bumped against something here, but I don't think you're hurt. All right, that's about as far as we'll go here. Brother Bear, we know Brother Branham said, if you make Jesus the word, you have two gods. No, he said three gods. You are Trinitarian. Can you elaborate in the relationship or distinction between Jesus, your elder brother, the Son of God, prior to Jesus in the flesh? Well, we were actually doing all that right along the line here. Now, when Brother Branham said, if you make Jesus the word, you would have three gods. And actually, you would have two gods. You also have the third one. But the point is this. If you read this very carefully, over here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You are looking at the fact, as John was using the Greek word logos, which means that the manifestation must contain the thought. Or in other words, if there is a manifestation, I don't like even the fact of using a word as the expression of the thought, in a sense that many people would use it. I would like to use the expression, when you're talking about God, you go right back to God and you say, God, who is Holy Spirit? So you would say here then, in the beginning was the expression, and the Word was with that which gave forth the expression, or was to be expressed, and the expression was therefore God. And they said, Brother Branham, what does it mean when they said, show us the Father? And it sufficeth us. He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Amen. Same difference. Well, there's your picture right there. Amen. You're not looking at even two people, Brother Branham and God. You're looking at God. In what respect? The word of vindication and the manifestation, rather, of vindication, which only God can do. Brother Branham said, William Branham could never tell these things so perfectly and see these things done, and neither could Jesus. And you see, people forget that Jesus was a prophet. He wasn't basically God manifest in the flesh. He was a prophet, and being a prophet, God had to come into His flesh and manifest that this was His man. Oh my, you know, it just is so clear if you get rid of this junk. Oneness in Trinity. Oneness is pitiful. There's no difference really. Missionaries went into China. They found a slant-eyed Madonna and a slant-eyed baby. And the inscription said that the child is the husband of the mother. That's Jesus only in Trinity. There's no difference between them. Right. Hey, a broken leg is a broken leg if it's above the ankle or at the kneecap. Amen. If you're messed up, you're messed up. Huh? The old song, sin is sin, no matter who it's in. So there's no such thing there. Now, let's go further. And the Word was made flesh. It wasn't made flesh. It became flesh. See? And Jesus, the beginning of the creation of God, God forming Himself into human flesh, started way back there when that light came forth. This day have I begotten thee. This day have I begun my generations in thee. That's why when Ernie Bailey found the quote of Brother Branham, God is the first man, Jesus the second, Adam the third. That's why I put my diagrams on the board, and you've seen them. And who is this Melchizedek? You saw how he branched off and showed it all coming through Jesus. And every single son of God was in Jesus, the generations. We were in Him, the election. Now we're manifested.
And people say, oh my, what a horrible manifestation these people are. Just a minute, don't you realize God being a Savior, He had to make a sinner? And then elevating Jesus to priesthood in order to keep us in, bring us in and keep us in, and interceding. Don't you understand you have to be that way? I mean, people are nuts. It doesn't mean that we've got to go out and sin and deliberately do things. It just means, hey, you better understand the divine precept from the divine preceptor. You know, come on. Let's get excited about some real goodies. Not some stupid little thing where they talk in tongues and give a lousy interpretation. Oh, I've heard coyotes do a better job, man. I just can't stand that stuff. So, the relationship, the difference, distinction, there isn't any as far as the birth and all is concerned, but the thing is this, there's a difference of position. That's all. And don't you know that we here were meant in the bride of Christ to be right up to the head part, where the head comes down. Therefore, we have a knowledge and a purity that exceeds anything anybody else had in any age. And Brother Branham said, what a glory Luther had over the dead Catholic Church. And he said, what a greater glory that Wesley had. And what a greater glory the Pentecost had. But he said, this glory, it'll never fade. So there's your answer right there. How does our handling of the things of this life and stewardship and sowing affect our walk with God and one another in this life as well as the rewards that will be given on the other side? Well, the effect that you have on people... The mic no good? So, first of all, looking at this thing, you certainly do have effect upon another person's life. There's no two ways about it. That goes all the way down, and I'm going to reverse my reading of Scripture here on purpose. So that goes all the way down from the prophet to the people who are gathered to Christ by means of the prophet ministry. Now, you never get gathered to God in any other way but the Word. And people say to me, Brother Vail, old Pentecostal friends, well, Brother Vail, the whole trouble is we should just worship Jesus and never mind the Word. I said, hold it, sister. See a woman big mouth? Women should shut their mouths and open their ears. And men should shut their mouths until they know their ears are really open. They got something to say. But it certainly appears. I mean, I'm not kidding. I've been all through this, right in the Branham ministry, the whole schmear. I've seen them, what they did. A woman criticized me. Her name's Mrs. Larson out there. And Brother, I know where she is anymore. She guess she's back in Sweden. And she wrote Erling Erickson and said, now you better get a hold of a TV and you better watch Jimmy Swaggart, because he's the closest thing there is to Brother Branham. And she'd run me down saying, Brother Branham called me a doctor sneeringly because he hated guys like us. Now, where is she today? I warned that woman. I said, woman, you've got a big mouth and small ears. Get big ears and a small mouth. Who won? Viva. I'm still standing here right with God and the Word of God. And where is she? She showed what she was. You think Brother Branham could be a pervert? Why do you think he preached that one time where men got so scared they thought maybe I shouldn't even have, you know, intercourse with my wife? It's what men were doing to their wives. Pigs. You treat your wife like a sister.
Right.
If you treat her like a queen, she thinks she is, you might cut your head off. Might have it come with you, too. Yeah. Okay. I was talking about this, wasn't I? What was it talking about? 1 Corinthians 4th chapter. So let's go to the 4th chapter. Let a man so account of us, said Paul, William Branham, Moses, all of them, as the ministers of Christ, the stewards of the mysteries of God. Now there's your real pope, your real vicar. What's this pope the vicar of? Everything but this. Notice how cute he is. He said there's a bad pope coming. He said, I'll tell you, I'm going to pack my cardinal college of cardinals and my bishops. I'm going to do my best so that bad pope can't come. Or we'll know him. Under whose reign, as the vicar of Christ, was the concord signed with Israel, 666. It's pope, isn't it? So he's a wonderful forerunner. Because this isn't 666. Until the bride's out of here. But you see, the picture already is in order. And this pope is shrewd. Say, aha, this Pope warned us. Oh, yeah. They'll fall right into the trap of the dirty Pope, the real Antichrist. Because he's going to be a real sweet guy. You know, just before Jesus got crucified, Judas came and he kissed him, and the Greek says, an affectionate kiss. He really liked that feller. How many people really like Brother Branham and stuck the knife in the fifth rib? Then when they get me in the fifth rib, it's not because they like me. They're trying to dispatch me. Well, that's all right. Now it says, moreover, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Stewards of the mystery of God, stewards of the grace of God. And you must be faithful. So therefore, whatever position you are in the body of Christ, whatever God has given you, you have to be faithful. You've got to really give into it. Now, Brother Paul made a statement about marriage, and he said if a man doesn't marry, that he feels that he can control himself without being one of these guys running around seducing or being seduced. They do it even after they marry, though, which is horrible. Now, you're a woman that doesn't have that particular need of marriage, and you remain single. You can devote yourself exclusively to God, and therein you have a better ministry. But only under those conditions can you do it. And should you do it. Now, what we're looking at here now is the fact of a stewardship apart from the things of the world. And yet, being in the world, you have a stewardship from God. And you have to separate one from the other. And yet, at the same time, you can't entirely separate them because, you see, you're just that one living vessel. You don't have two bodies. One to serve God perfectly and one to just serve the ordinary nature of life that God's given us. It's from God, let's face it. There's nothing that isn't from God. Even the devil's from God. It's a perversion. That's what the word iniquity means. You were perfect in all your ways until the perversion, the seed of discrepancy was found in you. You began to pervert. You began to twist. The devil never had an ounce of power of his own. He's got no life of his own. He's got no word of his own. He's got no thoughts of his own. All he can do is take what God said and twist it. So you, if you're a word Christian, you're not a God. You got to look that word square in the face. And you don't duck. You know, shove it over your shoulder. Next time. So all right, now, we've showed you what we are. We've got this duality in a vessel. Now, we got to serve God, and we got to serve man. And we got to serve ourselves. We got to serve our wives. Our wives got to serve us. Children got to serve us. We got to serve them. In other words, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And earthen vessel tells the whole thing. So, let's look a little bit at the earthen vessel and stewardship. This is one thing I want you to get, and I stand on very, very strong, and I make no apologies because I believe I'm 100% right. And I take it all the way from the first Exodus. When Moses went down, God gave Israel a vast amount of silver and gold and jewels. And what did they do? As soon as Moses went up the mountain and they were left alone, and even the priest was left alone, and he knew better, everybody left alone to their own ends, without that specific direction, that rod of control over them, the shepherds cooked with Moses, they began messing around. They got into sexual sins, crazy sexual sins, like they did at Baal Peor, and they made a golden calf. What did they do with their wealth? They went plumb out of the ballpark with it. Now, when God gave Israel the chance to redeem themselves under David, they formed alliances, which they never should have done. They did it under poor old Joshua. It's a pity, but they did it. They allowed the Gibeonites and those people who took a circuitous route and pretended they came from a very opposite direction. Yeah, they made sure they came from their opposite direction, which you know, they went right around and came up and faced the Israelites. Oh, we're from way, way, way over yonder. They weren't. They're just 30 minutes away, about, hiding or whatever. They were a couple of days. Or they said, we just, our bread here was fresh and our clothes were good. And man, the shoes are worn out, the clothes, we're in bad shape. And they didn't inquire of God, see. They were fooled. And so now, what you have, those people which should have all been killed, every single one killed, killed, killed. God could have started to breed Israel back, genetically, to a human race. That's why Brother Branham said, God will create, not by sex, but by resurrection, and bring them back. They blew it. See, they plumb blew it under God. They could have a sweet, godly, abiding race where no enemy within or without could have touched them. Because it's known, 3 times a year, all males went to Jerusalem to worship, and never once in history was Israel attacked. God stood guard. Now what happened? They become a great people. People are in bondage to them. They bring in the wood. They bring in the gold. They bring in the silver. Everybody's afraid of them. So they bring in great piles of gold, and they make a fabulous temple under Solomon. And what happened? Solomon got himself 1,000 women. And they seduced him into idolatry. What am I trying to tell you? Money, money, money. Gold, gold, gold. Money, money, money. Money, money, money. Golden casket. Take you to hell every time. Take you plumb away from God. Huh? Take you plumb away from God. People don't believe what I preach. I can take you to the 5th chapter of James, where James warned him. And he said, you people, like I would say this, what Brother Brown said, got honest day's work for an honest day's pay. A man's entitled to the hire of his labor. Give him that. And he said, you kept it back. And in the last days, gold chasers may reap and howl. Your misery's come upon you. Your silver, your gold is corrupted. Now, you know normally you can't corrupt gold. What does it mean then? It's in the wrong places. You've used it wrong. You've done bad things. You bought souls. You've sold souls. You've taken money for sins that you can't forgive. You're filthy. You're filthy. You say you're rich, increased in goods. You're liars. You're wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. See? Now, the end time, they don't have one word, but they got money, 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 money. They got gold, gold, gold. They got paper, paper, paper. That's why they've... Why do you think they've signed up right now? You think they signed up so the Jews are worried about Rome saying, oh, you dirty bunch of stinking Jews, you crucified and killed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews would say, you lousy stinking Romans, you're the ones that killed and crucified Christ. Really, Paul says it was the Jews that crucified and killed their Lord Jesus Christ. It was Paul who said the Jews are people you can't deal with, they're so miserable. It's the same thing that Luther said. And Luther said they all ought to be killed, and Hitler came on the scene to fulfill the prophecy. Okay? And you know why they got killed? Because they had all the land and the businesses and the goodies. And now what happened? Oh, Switzerland was so beautiful and wonderful, a haven of rest. They played footsie with the Nazis and a whole bunch of them, and they got billions of dollars and gold and jewels and paintings and things of the Jews. And then what they did, they went to Poland, and these places couldn't pay their bills. They took what the Jews had and they put it over there and they sent it back so the bankers get their money back. You know, they take the money, the shell game. Where's the little diamond under the shell? Flip, 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 flip. Guy that manipulates always gets the money. It's all coming out, isn't it? It's all coming out. Money, 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 money. Yeah, that love, that intrinsicality of the soul. Huh? Okay, let's go to the Bible. Matthew 6. Matthew 6:19, it says, lay not up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust are corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There you are, they that will be rich heap to themselves troubles and sorrows. Everything under high heaven, this wicked, Paul said. Now said, the light of the body is the eye. Ho, 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 ho. Who sees for the Catholic Church? Popey, old boy. Who sees for the Protestants? The district presbyter and the president. Oh, yeah. And your little black book and your creeds and the dogmas. Now, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thy eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. See, one full of darkness, rather one full of light. If therefore the light that's in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other. Hold the one, despise it. You can't serve God and mammon. Make your choice. Is it God today or is it a dollar bill? You make your choice. So, Brother Bill, I don't believe it's that day. Why did Brother Branham say many a good man saves the organization, he's afraid of his pension? I've got a wonderful pension, and I ain't that in organization at all.
I just did what I knew God told me to do. Give, and it shall be given to you. Give with the right motive. Give expecting nothing back. I don't expect anything back from people I give to. My God, I don't want it back. That kills the blessing. When you get something, that's the end of it. When you give something, that's the start of it. Now, it tells me right here. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. So we can read a little more on this lovely little principle we're laying out here. Now remember, we started with the apostle and the prophets giving the word of God, and they're stewards of the mysteries and grace of God. If they take one word, add one word, do anything foolishly, they're false prophets, they're children of darkness and children of Satan. The bride and every single member of Christ, the same thing. You are stewards, and you don't dare change it, and you don't dare not tell others. But don't cast your pearl before swine. I've had too many privileges, and I fell for it every single time. Now, Luke 16, starting at 9. We won't take the parable. Make to yourselves, I say to you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive an everlasting habitation. Now, part of that goes to the white throne. Lord, when did we see you in prison? When did we feed you? When were you naked? When did we do something to you and for you and with you? Oh, you did it to these, the brethren. There's nothing said about the blood. There's nothing said about them being born again. Nothing even said about election. But they got to be elect, but not very elect. They're part of the remnant that Brother Branham spoke of. See that whole bold account. Now listen, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Tells me right there, and if you don't handle this right, you're not going to get to handle the other. Now, I could say a lot of things here, but I'm not going to say them. I've said them before. And he that's unjust in the least is also unjust in much. If ye therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit unto you trust your trust the truth? Doesn't say riches, doesn't say mammon. The truth. Then you could add anything you wanted there. The true word, the true life, the true this. I suggest you just stay with what it says here. Give you the true riches. What is the riches of the inheritance in the saints? What did Brother Branham call it? Come on. Remember? The word. Well, sure. That's where inheritance is written. What's in the will? Haven't you read the will? Huh? Brother Branham was one of God's executors down here. And he read the will, which the righteous God gave to us, which the righteous judge set in order. And if you've been not faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? What man are you responsible to? Jesus, he's a man, isn't he? Isn't the man Christ Jesus a man? Isn't he the one that's a high priest? What's he the high priest to? He's the high priest to confession. And what's the confession? The same words? Now, hold it. Not just the same words, the same time and at the same place. This message today didn't go down yesterday, and yesterday didn't come today. So if you want to confess old Wesleyan Pentecost, be my guest, hop up and down, scream and talk in tongues and say, Brother Branham couldn't scream and he couldn't run and jump because he was under a bondage or something. I'm not under any bondage and I'm not running and screaming. I'm trying to get something across to you. Now, if you'd like to swing on the chandeliers, you don't have any. What do you got there? A couple of fans? Well, if you can reach them after a bit, be my guest. Rod, you'll have to lift me up. My jumping days are over. But my screaming days aren't off. In our church at home, I feel like screaming at times, and the people would scream with me. But it's all right. But hey, listen, I don't care how high you jump, as long as you walk straight when you come down. That's not my thing. No man can serve two masters. Well, the master is the fellow you got it from. Not just what you got, it's what you got it from. Now, how do you worship and serve God? Only by a prophet. What does the prophet do? Brings the word. What? Vindicated. Okay? No man can serve two masters. No servant can serve two masters. We're servants. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and get it mixed up with materiality or money. You live with both, but you must separate them. Now, I could say a lot of things here, and I'm not going to say any further. We said it all. That's enough. Okay, we've learned that the millennium is a further work of sanctification. Will this continue in New Jerusalem? Well, look. To me, sanctification means separation unto God. And the greater the separation, the better it is. It's a lot like when you come to God for dedication and sanctification. The term really is to come with open hands. And when are our hands ever going to be closed to God? It's never. There's a continual relation. But let me read you the one thing that I can read you, and I can't read you anything else. It's in Revelation 22, and I guess it's what? Verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, that's the New Jerusalem, and on either side of it was there the tree of life, which bare 12 fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves were for the healing of the nation. Brother Branham said that's to bring peace and keep peace. So that's your answer. I can't tell you. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't think there's any limit, because there can't be, to the revelation, the compatibility, the love, the enjoyment, the worship of God, and the people of God, and everything that God created. Please expand on the thought that our baptism with the Holy Ghost now brings us parallel. The word isn't parallel. It's really commensurate. It amounts to the same thing as Brother Branham said, to our theophany. Brother Branham said, you're placed here in the flesh in order to be tested and tried. And of course, we went into sin and do sin, and you can't blame Adam, because Paul said, we're not sinning after the similitude of Adam's sin, but we have our own problems. And we do. And Brother Branham said, the baptism with the Holy Ghost makes up for your missing the word body, the spirit body. And he also said, if you want to compare the baptism with the Holy Ghost to the Old Testament, only the prophets came near to it. So that's about all I can tell you. Now, if I say anything more, I'd be wrong. Now, somebody asked the question, what about the time you sat in Brother Branham's room with Sister Meadie and the pillar of fire wrote on the wall? I didn't see the pillar of fire. Brother Branham asked me if I did. I said, no, Brother Branham, I don't see it, but I see the one who does, and that's good enough for me. I didn't care to see it. Why would I see it? It's not my business. So he began spelling out the words, and as he spelled them out, I began putting the letters together, and he said, go back to Tucson. At what point in his ministry did Brother Branham become aware that he was preaching, that what he was preaching was not being revealed to the people before him? And did he discuss this much with you? What was it like to know that the bride would receive it years down the road? I don't know. Well, Brother Branham knew, as every prophet knows, Isaiah 55, my word cannot return unto me void. There is no way. He also knew that Paul said, you are the husbandry of God. You're God's planting. You're God's not only the seed of God, you're actually God's own property, God's own plot of ground that's been planted. Because your body was just as elect. Brother Van said, God took your great-great-grandmother down, and he got you. And I said, merciful heaven, look what he got when he got you. I've always wondered just what my ancestors were. Now, the Pope already knows his. It's a monkey. But that doesn't make me a monkey's uncle, or a monkey my uncle. Brother Branham did know it was not going over their heads. He made the statement, it's right on the tape, Brother Vail, it's going over their heads. He said, perhaps you can break it down and teach it to them. And he also said, just before he was injured out there in California, to the young ministers, to take this word and break it down and help the people. We know that Malachi 3:16, they that feared the Lord spake often one another. How important is this in our worship to God? Well, as I said a while ago, the word confession means to say the same thing together at the same time in the same place. And if you are not in the message of this hour, there's no life anyplace else. So important, it's everything. It's everything. If you're not in it, you're not in it. So, all right, how vital is confession to the rapture process? Well, that's the same thing again. How's he going to take you? How's a man going to take a woman, or vice versa, if he says opposite to her and she says opposite to him? You got no marriage. Well, this is a marriage we're talking about, the invisible union. And the invisible union is the process of the Word. And the same life that's in him is the same life in the Word is the same that's in us. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Now, he was given a spirit the same as we were. It goes back to God who gave it. Doesn't say that God gave it as part of the Holy Ghost. It's allowed of God. That goes for everybody. But the soul is a part of God. No difference all the way down the line, see? And the bride is not made of one cell, another cell. It's made of the living, revealed word of God from the ground up to the head. Remember, the image was from the head down. But our image is different. Ours is from the ground up. It's built upon the foundation of the holy apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone, that's all over. What has he become? The headstone. So, therefore, what went in the corner, when Paul laid the foundation, same thing coming down. And if you're not part of that, and you're not really seeing and understanding that this message that Brother Branham brought, when he said, just think how wonderful the same pillar fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. If you can't see that, you know, hey, you're not wasting my time. Thank you for being here, but look, you and I got nothing in common. Let's just face it. Let's face it. And that's not nice, perhaps. I lose a lot of customers that way. And then some. He, listen, I've seen people come to our service one time and not come back. They'll listen to somebody else preach. They won't listen to me preach. I need them. You're not going to come in here telling me, bless God, I did this and I had that. I'll match everybody in this church, your pastor. I'll take my time off, and I feel like quitting. Let's all talk about what God did in your life, and I'll beat the whole bunch of hands down with proof. And I've got nothing. Nothing. I rely on nothing. Now I can start screaming. I'm not going to though. Out of pure joy, I have to have nothing. See? Because he gave it all to me. You pass this word up, brother, sister. No, I'm mean. I'm everything's mean and rotten inside. Who cares? I'm not too worried. They said the same. Brother Brown told me, he said, Lee, he said, you and I are just alike. That's how I mean, Brother Brown. And he was, oh my, he was so nice. And you'll admit he was very, very complimentary, way beyond what a prophet of truth should be. He said, I've got just a little gift of healing nobody wants it, and you've got a little gift of teaching. Now he told the truth there, and nobody wants it. Hi, nobody. I trust you're here this morning. You know that I won't back away by the grace of God, no matter what happens. I hope I have the faith and the grace to stand. No matter what happens. Because I'm going to tell you something. That's all I got left. I don't know where you are. You look back. You look at yourselves. You may see something nice. I don't see anything. I'm a dying man. I'm going to be out of here pretty soon. Will I go out screaming? Will I go out just like there's nothing? Because if he's not there to meet me on this word, what I preached, I'm gone. Doesn't matter what I think or what I do. For I smile and say, I see Jesus coming in clouds. Amazing. This, Brother Branham said, when this and this, no, this and this and this get together, you got it. Last question, and we're out of here. Hey. Right on the dot. We are in the shall be. I know what you mean. Under the seventh seal, time and eternity has ended. So therefore, you can't look forward. You can't look back. This is it. Right? You cross the equator. You cross the perpendicular. Either someone's going to catch you up, or you go down. As we pile word upon word, that word image is being built. This is a process. Yet, is there still a final change in the twinkling of an eye? You bet there is. Are we building up to the point where God will, God can and will bring on the final sweep, like he said, after resurrection? Well, I tell you what, if that isn't true, I don't know what we're looking for. I'm going to go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and we'll see, we'll take a look there. Now he says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, it's your divine service. Not reasonable, the word is divine. Your divine service. You want to be in divine service? Present your body. Which has a lot to do with the mammon of this world. Don't worry what you're clothed, don't worry what you're fed. God will take care of that. Just make sure that you put God first. Make him your treasure, make the word of God your treasure. And be not conformed. I remember I preached on seed of discrepancy, the seed of conformity. So be not in fashion of the seed of discrepancy. Don't you go trying to change one word, But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is repent. Repent. When you get the next tape, you're going to hear what Carl Sagan said. If you haven't got a Reader Digest, you'll find that Carl Sagan said, when the scientist has a proposition that he is fixed upon, but somebody else comes and shows him his proposition is not the right proposition, he said, you've got something there, and that man changes his mind and never refers to what he once had in his mind at one time. Are you a true scientist? Well, come on. It's no longer faith, brother, sister. I don't have to have faith in this Bible. Bless God, I've got the Bible. I don't have faith in this little stick pen. It's pretty, isn't it? Looks like a diamond. Fuji, it's a zirconium, $25. Given to me by a friend. I may get conked to the head for $1,000, but it's only worth $25. And the guy made a profit on it. So it's worth what, $1? I look at my watch. 12:01. You can't change the fact. This is the Bible. This is zirconium. This is the time. It's here. That's science. We're past faith. It's science. It's knowledge. Now, how do you renew your mind? You pack it plumb full of revealed knowledge. Now, that's how you get transformed. Which means transfigured, which is the process of metamorphosis, caterpillar to a butterfly. And now I'm going to tell you something, the caterpillar has the same seed the butterfly had, but it had to go through the caterpillar to get where it was supposed to be. Metamorphosis. Okay, we're quitting with Ephesians, the first chapter. This is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You talked about the rebirth. You can't get the rebirth until you get the seed. If you're seed, unless you are seed. If you are seed, you'll get the baptism. And what is the baptism all about? In whom you trusted after the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, whom you also believe, you received with that Holy Spirit promise, which is the down payment, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Your body. So there you are. The whole thing lines up this way. You were born again to be sealed in, to receive what Adam and Eve wanted too late, which was immortality in the Garden of Eden, when we go to the millennium and we even get beyond that, which is far better, we go to the New Jerusalem. And there you see Genesis completely fulfilled that Eve should have borne Jesus. Then the rest of us, like the children of Joseph and Mary, would have all come in. There's no record, my knowledge, that any child of Joseph and Mary, two brothers were disciples, all family of God, all in the resurrection, everybody right there, we're coming to it. Yeah, pretty soon. So all right, that's going to take care of this. And enjoyed being with you. I always enjoyed being in a pulpit, although this is the first time I've been in the pulpit for a long time outside of our own church. I simply do not go anywhere anymore, not even to Columbus, any place like that. I've been to places for years, and I don't intend to go any longer anywhere. The doctors told me and my wife that she's got a 61-year-old inside, and I've got a 56-year-old side, and I said, yeah, but it's still an 82-year-old body, so don't try to sweat me. My eyesight's failing, but that doesn't matter. I've got better inner sight than I've ever had. Amen. I really have. You really have. I mean, it's become to the place of being very incisive. I can even tell you this morning in a very oblique way how the devil got his desire over Jesus. Now, he didn't get it. He said, I want you to fall down and worship me. You know something? Jesus didn't do it. But the church did it for him and to him. Because they're in satanic worship. Our Father which art in heaven. And they pray in Jesus' name. And they get results too. You talk about the church betraying Jesus, the same Satan did? You talk about it. Now I can start screaming.
Amen.
To brother there, that's not nice agreement. It is to me because it breaks my soul loose to know that we know the things of God. We know the mysteries. When Brother Branham opened this for us, brother, sister, It don't mean any can of worms. He opened the mind and heart of God to a bride. And she can be everything and will be everything he said. And he won't lose one of them either. Not one. All right. Service is yours. What do you do? Just pray and they take the name of Jesus with them? All right. Let's stand and be dismissed. And then I'm going to be like I was with Jack Bell one time. I was down there and a young man cornered me outside the door. And he said, Brother Vail, I want to ask a question. I said, Son, who doesn't have a question? Come on, let's go eat. Jack looked at me, and then he burst out laughing because he knew you're never going to have an end to questions.
Yeah.
But you better eat or you'll fall down. I don't have any love to it, but it's in the right places. Heavenly Father, as we go, we ask your blessing upon the people. And furthermore, Father, as the prophet of God said, so clearly to us, take this message for your healing.
Yeah.
And we know that that healing depends upon confession, saying the same thing at the same time in the same place as our blessed Jesus Christ did, vindicating that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever through the Father himself coming down and performing Genesis 18. And right to this day, we know that we have that confession of healing. By his stripes we're healed. The Son of Righteousness is rising with healing in his wings right to the extent of the rapture. Touch your people this morning that need your help, O God.
Yes.
Don't lay hands on anybody, on myself, my wife, or on Sister Emily or anybody here that needs help this morning. Any child, any adult, God, this morning, touching your people by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, through the life which is in the vindicated word, vindicated healing. Majestic thoughts of the resurrection taking place even now. All these things moving in our innermost being and right to the circumference from the center of our very bodies, speaking light and life. Body full of light. Body means then full of life. Unto thee we give the glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, thanking you for healing of the soul, the mind, and the body. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.